Hey, whether you enjoy listening to Breaking Down Collapse or Building Up Resilience, I think you'll also really enjoy our bonus content on Patreon.
Yeah, Kellen and I take 20 minutes each week to talk about the news that's happening all around us and Collapse as it plays out. We like to have a little fun with it, but also make sure that you're aware of what's going on in the world of Collapse.
We look forward to having you join us there. The link to join us on Patreon is in the episode description.
There's a quote that I've heard before that says, "What gets measured gets managed." I think it's primarily a business quote around metrics and those types of things, but it applies perfectly to today's episode, because just like what gets measured gets managed, what doesn't get measured does not get managed. And I think that is the very purpose of Trump's new EPA order, which is to basically stop collecting emissions data from polluters. Trump has ordered the EPA to stop collecting data. And this is not, while today's episode is specifically around the EPA, he has basically done this same thing across multiple organizations and across multiple data types. Because if you're not collecting the data, well, number one, it's much easier to look bad. But you also don't have to spend the money, the regulatory requirements disappear, and businesses love this because it saves them money. And that is the claim in this article, and this one is from the New York Times, around why, at least in part, this is being done. So it is titled EPA to Stop Collecting Emissions Data from Polluters. It says the data from thousands of coal-burning power plants, oil refineries, steel mills, and other industrial facilities is the country's most comprehensive way to track greenhouse gases. So this was an announcement just from last week. It was Friday the 16th of September. And they say, look, I know we've been collecting this information for the last 15 years. Thousands of coal-burning power plants, oil refineries, steel mills, and other industrial facilities across the country have been reporting this information. But we're just going to say, you know what? It doesn't matter anymore. And why? Says Lee Zeldin, the EPA administrator, added that ending the program could save American businesses up to $2.4 billion in compliance costs over the next decade. Well, okay. First of all, is that true? I don't know. I don't have the data to back that up. Lee Zeldin did not provide information as to how he got those numbers. But even if it is true, $2.4 billion is relatively nothing in comparison to the damage caused by climate change. You consider the cost of, a single hurricane, a single damaging hurricane or flood or windstorm or tornado, or freeze, or wildfire, or whatever it is, and many of those will cost more than that single $2.4 billion supposed savings that they're going to save over the next decade. The U.S. spent something like $182.7 billion in direct and economic losses from climate-related weather events in 2024 alone. There were over $27 billion weather and climate related disasters last year. So they're saying we're going to save American businesses $2.4 billion over a decade in order to completely ignore the causes of almost $200 billion annually in damage caused by these climate disasters. It's an absolute farce. And that $2.4 billion that he's claiming, that's going to save who that money? Well, the owners of power plants, oil refineries, steel mills, and other industrial facilities across the country. Lee Zeldin says, alongside President Trump, the EPA continues to live up to the promise of unleashing energy dominance that powers the American dream. This is a terrifying prospect to me in a very specific way, with the reporting of these exact numbers, but also just in the reporting of numbers overall. This podcast relies so much on data, right? Climate scientists all over the world rely on data in order to make projections and in order to extrapolate, in order to, put data into the models that are going to give us an idea of what we are going to experience in the future, how we're tracking, what we need to do to course correct. All of those things require millions of points of data. And the U.S. is basically saying, we are no longer going to provide any of that. Now, of course, the U.S. is not, you know, the only place in the world that is providing these data points. It's pretty crucial that the U.S. does their part, number one, to try and curb emissions, but number two, to report the data on that. And they are no longer going to be doing either. Towards the bottom of the article, it says the proposal follows a rapid-fire series of steps by the Trump administration to weaken or dismantle environmental protections. In July, the EPA moved to repeal the scientific finding that underpins the government's legal authority to combat climate change. So this is referring to what's called the endangerment finding. This was basically a formality that was put in place by Obama in 2009, stating that certain greenhouse gases, including obviously CO2 and methane, pose a threat to public health and welfare. We knew that up to this point, but this was basically a governmental stamp on it that allowed the government to take actions to fight climate change, to reduce emissions. And Donald Trump has basically said, we're going to repeal the endangerment finding and essentially deny, from a government standpoint, that climate change exists and that CO2 and methane have anything to do with it. Going back to the New York Times articles, it says, and in recent weeks, the White House has directed a half dozen agencies to thwart the country's offshore wind industry, a key source of emissions-free electricity. Under the 2015 Paris Accord, the agreement among nations to combat climate change, the United Nations has required that all developed countries provide data on their domestic emissions each year. But the United States missed an April deadline to submit this data, and Mr. Trump began the year-long process of withdrawing from the Paris Pact on his first day back in office. In addition, the Trump administration has asked NASA to decommission and possibly destroy two satellites that measure greenhouse gases from space. In contrast, in July, Europe's first carbon tracking satellite launched with the goal of capturing more granular emissions data. So again, it's good to know that other parts of the world are, you know, hopefully stepping up as far as the tracking goes to help fill in some of the gaps that we're losing due to the U.S. But I mean, folks, it's 2025. We're up to our, you know, at this point, up to our waist in climate change disturbances, right? And the water's rising. Like, we don't have long before it's up to our necks, and before long, before, you know, we're below water, metaphorically speaking, and quite possibly literally. And we have, you know, one of the most powerful nations, if not the most powerful nation, depending on what aspect you're looking at, in the world, not just downplaying it all, but completely rejecting it and moving backwards. The damage that's being done here will take years, if not decades, to fix, and that's if we ever get to a point where we have an administration willing to fix it. Now, there are several other ways that the Trump administration is doing damage in regards to data collection outside of just polluters. For example, the Mauna Loa Observatory is supposed to be shut down according to the new Trump budgets. It's been around for over 60 years. Its data is one that I use at least twice a year, observing the rate of change of CO2 in the atmosphere. Trump's decided to defund the observatory that records that data, as well as widespread U.S. greenhouse gas monitoring across different measuring sites. An article in The Conversation says, we can't solve the existential problem of climate change if we can't track the changes. Losing Mauna Loa would be a huge loss to climate science. If it shuts, other observatories, such as Australia's Kennock, Cape Grim, will become even more vital. You know, I'm not familiar with that site, but I am going to have to become familiar with it. And like it's saying, these other sites around the world are going to become that much more valuable, and we must protect them. If, you know, so much of the world is moving to the right, and if Donald Trump's actions here embolden other countries around the world who might be headed that direction anyway to take the same actions and see that, hey, the U.S. was able to step away from the Paris Climate Accord without any, you know, any consequences to them politically, then we're going to follow suit and do the same thing. If they say, hey, that was a popular movement there and it saves their companies $2.5 billion, well, hey, I'm going to get a cut of that, right? Lobbyists, it's a lobbyist dream. And all of this at a time where the Mauna Loa Observatory is capturing, you know, the highest rate of increase on record. I think it was 3.58 parts per million that we grew in 2024 of CO2 concentration in the atmosphere. In the 1960s, levels were around 320 parts per million. Now, just 60, 65 years later, we're well over 420 and almost at 430. That's a one-third increase in just 60 years, and the rate of that growth is accelerating. So in the end, what do we have if we don't have climate data? What can we do? And I think about that from, you know, from my personal perspective of someone who reports on changes in climate over time. All we have is anecdotal evidence. And that's an extremely difficult thing to go off of. We know that in 2024, like I just said, the U.S. experienced around $182.7 billion in economic losses from the $27 billion weather events. 27 different, at least $1 billion weather events. Are we going to know that for 2025? Is the Trump administration going to allow for the research, at least from a governmental standpoint, to come out and say, this is how much things cost? Or are they going to, you know, is he going to allow it, but is he going to fudge the numbers and say, oh, this year it was half as much. We're, you know, things are getting better. Climate change isn't real and it's not caused by humans. We're getting to a point where, and I've said this in previous daily episodes, that we cannot trust the data if there is any data to receive at all. When data becomes propaganda, it becomes pertinent to not even pay attention to it. And to me, that is one of the most terrifying concepts of going into collapse, is not being able to know how it's unfolding around us. Because from a personal standpoint, right, I look at my own life and my own geographical area. And, you know, if we didn't have the technology that we had today, if we went back before the time of cell phones and internet and all of that, and we had the same level of warming that we have now, you know, anecdotally, I would just be able to say, well, I feel like, you know, we get less snow than we normally got when I was growing up. And I'd probably question, like, do we actually receive less snow than then? Or, you know, is it just a weird bias in my mind that I'm remembering that we used to have way more snow? Maybe it was just 1 or 2 years that we had a bunch of snow and every other year was more similar to it the way it is now. And yeah, like, we got a little more drought than normal, but a clear trend without data is not something that I would necessarily recognize. And even bigger than that is that as a whole, as a group, we may not recognize it and especially not be willing to make the changes necessary. While technology has caused so many issues, it also allows for us to know and understand and track and be able to manage to some degree the issue. And while it, you know, it can create a consensus, and yes, I know not everyone's going to believe the consensus. Many have rejected the consensus for a long time and called the science fake or whatnot. There's at least empirical proof. There is data to point to say this is clearly what is happening, and we're losing that. And if that doesn't terrify you, I don't know what will. I hope that the loss of data here is not permanent. Like I said, if we ever are able to move past Trump and the GOP, I hope that we are able to kind of rebound, recollect, maintain that data somewhere so that we can continue the tracking moving forward. Okay, thanks for joining in. We will talk again soon. Hey, Corey here. If you are listening to the back catalog of Breaking Down Collapse, thank you. Those episodes are so vital. They're so important. But I also wanted to let you know that I am now doing daily episodes. Yes, that's right. Here on the podcast, daily episodes. So if you are enjoying the back catalog, great. Please also feel free to zoom forward to the most recent episodes. Catch us daily. They are quick little episodes, and I think you'll enjoy them. Thanks.